It's about shopping and finding the perfect gift for everybody on your list, I think. And so in trying to find the perfect gift for everybody, it becomes it's almost an event, it's a competition, I think, that some people think it is, and so they'll crowd into some department store and they'll be fighting, and there's videos you can watch of people struggling to get in the door first and all that good stuff, and it gets crazy. I'm sure some of y'all went shopping on Black Friday, and or any of you who were wise stayed home and said, "Hey, I can do my Christmas shopping or whatever else some other time," and it's always a little easier. But thinking about that, there's a certain gift. We're trying to find that perfect gift for somebody, and just thinking of what it is that they might like and such as this, and what would be good for them, be perfect for them. And I want to think today about Black Friday preparation. Black Friday preparation, and we're talking about a kind of a preparation that is finding and realizing the perfect gift there is for somebody on your list. So Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, the scripture says, and we'll see what we're talking about here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And then he says, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Isaiah is prophesying here in this passage concerning the coming Messiah, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is that child that was born as he was born in Bethlehem. And he is that son that was given as he was given in this world, but he's given as well as the Father gave him to die upon the cross of Calvary for us. And so we'll think about that gift. Christ and his salvation is, according to the scripture elsewhere, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." 2 Corinthians 9, 15. "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." In other words, it's a gift that just cannot be expressed in word because it's so wonderful. And it is Christ himself and the salvation that comes, that he brings. And it's the best gift ever. There's never been a better gift that has been given than the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was given by the best giver. I mean, we go out on Black Friday and say, well, you know, some people are wise shoppers. Some people know how to get to the best stuff, and they've already done all the research to find out what's the best, where the best deal is, and they want to go to that place, and they want to get it, and they want to get out of there as soon as they can. Because that'd be the wisest move, I think, that you could make in shopping Black Friday, is know what you want. Know exactly what you want. Get in there and get back out. And that's how men shop anyway. But anyway, best gift ever given, because it was given by the best giver that ever gave. He is the best giver. No one could ever compete with him as far as his ability, God's ability to give. And that through that gift, he makes his worst enemies. We think about how his gift is unspeakable and it's better than anybody else's, is because he makes with it his worst enemies his best friends. Now, you know, sometimes gifts can be successful and other times not. Sometimes we give a gift and it's just the perfect gift and you feel so good about it, because then the recipient is so thrilled by the fact that they received that gift and it was just the perfect thing. It was just what they wanted. It was just what they needed. But he, through his gift that he has given, makes his worst enemies his best friends and fully satisfies every single thing that they need. So So we're just thinking about this, and we're going to look at the scriptures, though, on a few passages of scripture today, just to examine why it is. I mean, the best gift ever given because of what? Why is it that this is the best gift ever given? And we'll look at a few passages today to just come to a conclusion about that from the Word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go further. We thank you, dear Lord, for your great mercy and grace toward us. We thank you for Christ Jesus, whom you gave to die for our sins, whom you was born in a manger in Bethlehem and lived that perfect life, Lord, that he might be that spotless lamb that would be sacrificed for us and take away the sin of the world. And we just praise you for your great grace toward us in sending Christ and sending your only begotten Son to be delivered up for our offenses. And we just praise you, thank you for it. We thank you every day, Lord, for that great salvation that you have provided, that wonderful gift that's so perfect for us, that met every need that we had, and that continues to fulfill your promises, that continues to wash us, continues to keep us, continues to bless us, Lord, in our lives day by day. And we just pray for your blessings now, that your presence might be with us today in such a way as that we'll grow and that we'll be encouraged as we think upon what has happened for us and what a wonderful gift that we've been given. We just honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen. It's the best gift ever given. It could compete with that. Just find just the best gift, you know, that you could possibly give. And that's a tough thing to do. It's a hard thing to do. You got to know the recipient really well in order to give a gift that's just right. And you may know the recipient really well, and you're still too dumb to pick it out, to find it, you know, find just exactly the right gift. But here we have God, the greatest giver ever, and he was able to give and to provide the gift that we needed, that man needs so desperately. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10, if you're going to look over to 1 John, the fourth chapter, and we see here the fact that this gift is the best gift ever given, because it assures sinners of God's great love for them. You know, a good gift, one mark of a good gift is something that truly does express love and expresses affection. And it's not just something that is detached. I have a very difficult time sometimes giving gifts. And personally, sometimes for my kids, I resort to gift cards, you know, and that's okay. And sometimes that's the best thing. You're trying to think of what would they need the most, and sometimes you just can't even imagine what it might be. And you say, this person is a hard person to give to, and the best thing you could possibly give them would be a meal out some night, you know. Or something they could use this particular money for and go out and find something for themselves. I don't know how many times that we've given a gift to somebody only to realize that they went and exchanged it because it wasn't the thing that they really wanted. And I don't know how many of us have ever done that. I personally have. I know that my mom used to give gifts, and she would always have the gift receipt with the gift, and just had an expectation that what she picked out was probably might not be what you want, and so just feel free to go back to Penny's or go back to Sears or wherever it was, you know, just feel free to go back and do your exchange and such as that, and so that becomes another Black Friday experience because of the lines that doing exchanges and such. But anyway, at any rate, we find though that a good gift expresses your love. Some of the best gifts I remember. My brother, I've got a brother who gives really good gifts, and we're all envious of him because he always gives these gifts, and it's like Oh, come on. You've thought too hard, thought harder than any of the rest of us, you know. You had to get something that you kind of put together with other things, and it's something that goes together, and you give the gift, and it really is an expression of your heart, of his heart, you know, toward people. So God, 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10, the expression of his heart. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, I finally get there. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. It's a wonderful thing that we've been given the grace that we love God, that we have a great love for God. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Here's real love. That he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent his son to be the means of him showing mercy toward us. He sent him to assure that we would understand his love for us, that we would know his love for us. And so he gives a wonderful gift. It's the best gift ever given because it assures sinners of his great love for them. If I know I've been propitiated, if God expresses to me and assures me that I have been reconciled to God through the death of his son, then that gift of the death of his son is a precious gift. It's a precious gift because it most gloriously displays God's love for us. There's no greater love and no greater expression of love than Christ Jesus. And him being sent to die for us, him being sent for us to be made sin for us, him being sent to be that one who suffered for us and so gladly took upon himself our offenses. In next passage, John 3:16. Second thing reason why this is the best gift ever given is because it assures condemned sinners their justification. In other words, it is a gift of, in a sense, of reconciliation. It's a gift of justification. It's a gift that says, you know what? You're absolutely going to stand with no condemnation upon you whatsoever. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, the individuals are truly criminals, and we as sinners are sinners. We've offended a righteous and a holy God, and we've broken the law. In John 3:16, he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Here's the gift. And that's the gift, his son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he goes on to say in verse 17, "For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." The opposite of condemnation and the kind of salvation that he's referring to here, the opposite of condemnation is justification. It is being delivered from the guilt, delivered from the charges that were against us. And so his gift is the best gift ever because it assures the criminal absolute justification. It assures the criminal absolute forgiveness of sins. And so what a glorious gift. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5, we come to the third reason. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, the word says here, "For he," that is the Father, "hath made him," that is the Son, For he, the Father, has made him, the Son, to be sin for us. He made him to be sin for us. In other words, he made him our sin, and he punished our sin in him, who knew no sin, the one that knew no sin, that perfect, spotless Lamb of God, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Worst enemies reconciled to God. What a wonderful gift it is of Christ being made sin for us, as the scripture says, for us. He has made him sin for us. He's given to us Jesus Christ as our sin bearer, as the one who's sin for us. It assures us absolute reconciliation. The worst enemies are reconciled to God through his work. Righteousness of God being given unto us. Not even a clearing, just a clearing of our slate, but more than a clearing of our slate. It's more than a clearing of our record. More than just remission of sins, but more so that we are given the righteousness of God, divine, perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ as our garment, a garment of righteousness being put upon us, a white garment that we'd be perfect and complete before the Lord. We're given his righteousness. You say, well, what if I sin after that? I've got his righteousness. It's not the point. That's not the matter. The matter isn't that whether or not my performance is going to be what it ought to be. The matter is I've been given the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, and my standing is complete because I stand in his righteousness. What a gift to be given is the perfect robes. If someone's looking for a coat, looking for a jacket, without looking at coats last night, saw a perfect jacket. But price wasn't right. But it was great. It was perfect, and it was white actually. But it was not the perfect gift because the price was just way too much. The price of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing. Free, freely given, perfect righteousness, a perfect gift. If they'd have told me at the store that here you can have this, it's okay, because it wasn't marked with a price, you know, you can have it for free. If they'd have told me that, then I'd have walked away with a pretty nice jacket. But they didn't tell me that. But I've been told that that I can have the righteousness of Jesus Christ free, freely given. Just trust in the Lord. Trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Believe on him. It assures the worst enemies complete, perfect reconciliation, eternal, everlasting reconciliation with God, because it's based on his righteousness being imputed unto me, being put on my account, being, in accounting terms, being, what do you call it? You're not debiting something, but you're crediting it. You're putting it on my account, so that I'm now right with God. I have a standing complete, but my standing is not complete in my righteousness. My standing is complete in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so I have a perfect righteousness with Jesus Christ. And so what a wonderful gift to be given. It also is the best gift ever given, because it assures the poorest. Sometimes Christmas time's a great time to give to those who are needy, to give to people who are needy. So you got the bell ringers out there all the time, and you're going to walk by the bell ringers, and you're going to see the bell ringers. And sometimes it's not a bad idea to have our hearts put out there for those that are needy. And so he says, but look with me to Romans chapter 8. But it assures the poorest of the poor the great gift of the inheritance of all things in Christ Jesus. say, it'd be a good gift if some poor person, someone who's just is homeless and without anything, without any, you know, their basic necessities are not being met. I mean, there's some people in other parts of the world who have it worse than people in our country. But then still, there's some people that are very needy, even in our country. But Romans chapter 8, look with me there. Romans the 8th chapter. And one of the things about Christmas time sometimes is the gift giving, not the gift giving just among family and friends and such as that, but also the giving to people who really are in need, kids that don't have parents and such as this. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, the scripture says there, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And for those who have nothing, to be given all things in Christ Jesus. That we have, you say, well, I don't feel like I have all things. Well, spiritually, you do. And in hope, in assurance and peace of the future, you do. You've got all things. And so we look forward to that. Verse 17 of chapter 8, go back to the 17th verse, and it says there, if children, so the Spirit's born witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs. To be a child of God, to be one who knows the Lord, is to be an heir of God. If children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. Listen, there are people who are going through all kinds of difficulties and suffering. You remember the parable of the rich man, or not actually a parable, but the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and of course you got Lazarus, the poor beggar, that the word of God says, hey, that poor beggar, through Jesus Christ, given the greatest gift that's ever given, is in the presence of God today. And he's in his presence with the joy of the Lord upon him. And then another thing about this gift, it's the greatest gift ever given, because it assures the hungry of complete satisfaction. Say, one of the things that happens this time of year, whether Thanksgiving or Christmas, different holidays, what happens this time of year is that sometimes there's lines, there's people who are providing meals for people who are hungry, people who have need. And so the greatest gift, if we think about the greatest gift, the greatest giver that's ever given, he gives a meal to the hungry. He gives to those that have nothing, who are starving for the righteousness of God, who are starved and who are without, certainly, totally without the hope and the assurance and the peace of eternal salvation. And the Lord provides it freely. In John chapter 6, verse 32 and 33, John chapter 6 and verse 32, the scripture says there, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. What's he talking about? When Jesus says, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven, John 6:32, what's he talking about? He's talking about himself. He's talking about himself as the gift. So he says he gives you that true. Moses gave you a bread from heaven that was something that dropped on the ground called manna. Remember that? He gave them the manna. But he says, hey, Moses didn't give you the true bread from heaven. That was just a picture of the true bread from heaven. The true bread from heaven is a person, is an individual. And he says, for the bread of God, verse 33, is he. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. He says, it's me, it's Jesus Christ. Here's the true bread from heaven. Through Christ Jesus, the hungry are fed. Truly, those who are spiritually starved and without any righteousness, without any salvation, without any peace, without any relief, are relieved and are satisfied, fully satisfied by the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 48 of this same chapter, he says, I am that bread of life. I am that bread of life. Oh, the Lord Jesus, what a gift to be given the bread of life, to be given that one, that person who meets, satisfies completely, all eternally, spiritual satisfaction, eternal satisfaction that we have with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 and 31, still thinking on that, on this same subject, this complete satisfaction for the hungry. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. 1 Corinthians 1, 30. It says there, but of him, of God, the giver, of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Here's what we have in this gift. I said a few minutes ago, some people know how to put a few things together and give that gift, and it's just a very special gift because it satisfies a lot of different needs. You say, hey, there's some fudge in this gift. And there's also, along with the fudge, there's also something that is more practical. You know, there's whatever it is you need. You know, if you live in the rain, if you live in Seattle, maybe it's a hat, maybe it's or an umbrella or something like that. You have something to need. You get all these things that are the perfect, that meet all the needs that you have. Well, in that one person, Jesus Christ, the scripture says, hey, of him are you in Christ Jesus. God's put us in Christ Jesus. And that, you know what that means? That means we have wisdom. That means we have righteousness. That means we have sanctification. It means we have redemption. We have all these wonderful, glorious, high gifts that the Lord has given to us. And what do we do as a result? That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the giver. Let him glory in the Lord. Let's glory in the Lord for what he's done for us and for what he's accomplished. And so Jesus Christ himself, the best gift, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And of course, we know Jesus himself, he laid the claim, John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm everything you need. I am all you need that you might be right with God. I'm the only way unto God. Everything you need, that you'd have peace with God. The greatest need that anybody in this world has is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The greatest need anybody has. No one else has a greater need. No one else has something that's more important, more pressing, more pointed. Because without it, we have nothing but condemnation. Without Jesus Christ, we have nothing but a separation from God. We have nothing but to look forward to, but a further separation from God in judgment from him. And so how desperately we need that relationship with God, and how wonderfully it has been provided so freely in the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And all that folk might come to see, as we have, to trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation, to trust him as being our righteousness, our wisdom, our sanctification, our redemption, everything we need to stand right with God. We've got a wonderful gift. Black Friday preparation. Hope you get your presents all found and wrapped and all that good stuff for everybody that you're supposed to give to, and that it all goes well as you make preparation. But God made preparation for us, for sinners, that we might be right with Him. And it's the most glorious and the wonderful gift in giving Christ Jesus to us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your Son. Thank you for the wonderful work that He's done for us in becoming sin for us, in laying down His life, in causing, Lord, you laying down your Son, you setting Him, delivering Him up for us all to the cross, to die, to be put to an open shame, that we might never face that shame for our sin. And we just praise you for that, and we thank you, Lord, for your great grace toward us. It delivers us from our sins. It causes us in Christ Jesus to be right, to be complete, to be reconciled, to have all full satisfaction, to have peace, to have joy in our life as your people. And we just pray that you might bless and increase and enrich our experience as your people, that we might have the fulfillment that you would desire for us, that we might look to your word, that we might find, Lord, that peace and that assurance that we have in Christ Jesus as our day-to-day experience. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Now, help us to serve you and walk with you in a way, Lord, that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. We will take about 10 minutes before the next service today, because we are going to skip the afternoon, the middle of the day meal.